We're here to celebrate Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. He is worthy to be celebrated. Let's keep that in mind and just be asking the Lord. Say, Lord, you have something you want me to say. Amen. All right. Yeah, Matthew 11:28. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to start there tonight. Are you hungry for God tonight? Are you hungry to know Him? See, there's a difference in being a follower of Jesus and being a disciple. Some people want to be followers of Jesus. They want fire insurance. They want to go to heaven. You know, and the church is somewhat guilty of that to some degree. Oh, come on, sign up. We're letting you come down, just pray this prayer, and you can go to heaven with us. And we know people need a little bit more information than just pray a little prayer. Amen. You know, it's good to pray a prayer. It's okay. It's all right. But really, they need to cry out what? The Bible says we believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, O Lord Jesus. There's a difference between believing in the head and believing in the heart. See, everybody says, well, I believe on Jesus. Well, that's very nice and that's wonderful, you know. I love God. Well, bluebirds love God. And the devil believes in God. The Bible says he believes and trembles. He's afraid. He knows his days are numbered. It's good to believe in God. But, you know, they believed at one point, and even in the Bible says they believed, but they were afraid they're going to get kicked out of the synagogue and they would not confess him. So were they saved? The Bible says we must believe in the heart. What? And confess. There's people, they believe Jesus died for them. They believe he was raised from the dead. I know he was. Yes, someday I may bow my knee and receive Jesus. I hope you don't wait too long. I hope it's not too late for you. That's a dangerous way to live. Amen. How many know things do happen in the world? Like it or not. Some of it's the devil. Some of it's human error. People make mistakes. I remember the guy that was going to work one day, the night before, he had a dream. And he worked on the oil, this oil rig, and they would have these cables that they pulled around and all this. In his dream the night before, he saw that cable snap. Knocked a guy right off the tower. He was climbing up and knocked him right off in his dream. And he went to work that day and he told his boss, I'm not going up there today. He says, he knew in his heart. He said, no. They sent somebody else up there that day. He said, you shouldn't send anyone up there right now. They need to check that cable. They didn't listen to him. Send somebody up there, and the cable broke, just like he saw in his dream. Came across, just snapped, cut his head off. And I know that's gross, but that's what happened. See, God, when you have a relationship with God and you trust him, he'll save your life. It could save your life. Listening to what God is speaking to you. Sometimes it may be in a dream. Sometimes it may be words that you hear. Or it may just be something on the inside of you. Something very gentle. He's just a whisper. And if you listen, may spare your life or the life of somebody else. People are hungry to know God. People are hungry to have him. Anyway, hallelujah. Matthew 11, verse 28 says this, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, or gentle in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now we know in the Bible they had, you know, a lot of times the yoke is representing something, right? There is a yoke. When you're yoked to something, he's talking about two animals. How many of you have ever seen a yoke on two different animals, and that yoke is on them? Usually they have an older animal, then they'll have one a little younger. And they'll hook those either oxen, or maybe it's, it could be horses at one time. Sometimes it is. But normally, like an ox or someone that's strong, right? A strong animal that can plow the ground, and they would yoke them together. And they had the older one because he would kind of be the one that trains the younger. He's been there before. He's been yoked before. And, maybe at first they pull away. But see here, he's saying, come to me if you labor and are heavy laden. What does that mean? What do you mean? Anybody ever been heavy? You felt a heaviness on you? There was a heaviness. Maybe it was sin. Maybe it was anything else. He said, come to me. I will give you rest. How many know that Jesus is the Sabbath rest? Did you know that? See, under the old covenant, how many know they had the Sabbath law? Well, what was the Sabbath law all about? What was it teaching them? They weren't to work on the Sabbath. They're not to pick up certain sticks, only so many steps. And, now there were allowances. If your donkey got stuck in the ditch, you can go get him out. some of these things that had to happen. But it was very, very important that they kept the Sabbath in the old covenant, because the Sabbath was representing a type of Jesus Christ. It was that by my own efforts, by man's effort, I cannot save myself. I cannot save myself. He was the Sabbath rest. In other words, I cannot know God without Jesus. He says, there's coming a rest. In other words, they were bound to sin. They had the sin consciousness all the time. One day a week, they rested. They took off. They didn't do anything. They made plans, and they had to say, hey, I cannot make progress toward God without Him, without a Savior. In other words, it cannot be by human effort. It cannot be by my own works. So Jesus became that Sabbath rest. And under the New Testament here, even Jesus, he said, God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, it was not for man. He didn't make man so they kept the Sabbath. No, he made the Sabbath for man, the rest for man. Jesus is that Sabbath rest. Now when we receive Christ, we enter into what? Rest. Rest from our own works. We don't have to try to keep the law. We're no longer bound to sin. We are not any longer under that burden of sin. We're now free, and our conscience is freed from the consciousness of sin. Under the Old Testament, yes, they had covering of sin. But they had to keep going back. What, every year? They had to go back regularly. And if they sinned along the way, there were certain sacrifices they made or certain things. But now, thank God, Jesus is what? That sacrifice once for all. He is the Sabbath rest. Hallelujah. Woo! Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest for your souls. Amen. How many know that there are times we need rest for our mind, our will, our emotion, our intellect? Anybody ever felt that? You just said, thank you, Lord. You're my peace. He is my peace. He is my rest. He said, we labor, what, to enter in to that rest. Who is Christ? He is our rest. He is the one that freed us. No longer bound. See, it says that let's turn over there. Let's go over to Hebrews for a minute. I guess we're talking about it for a minute here. Let's look at this. I wasn't going to go into all of that, but praise the Lord, it's good anyway. Hallelujah. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. Let's just start there in the first verse and look at a few things here real quick. It says at the beginning, it says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should not seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." In other words, God's plan was already set up. God made it so that we would succeed and enter into that rest. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Whew. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, they didn't enter in because of unbelief. Now, if you remember, they didn't go into the promised land because they didn't believe. The first generation had to die off. God waited. He's very patient. God is merciful, long-suffering, and very patient. You know, I'm sure if I was God, I'd have cut him off long before that. I just knocked him off, you know. But he let him pass on, took him into the promised land. But he says, again, he limits a certain day, saying in David today, after so long time, as it is said, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest in the old covenant, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God, here it is, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. He pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hallelujah. So here we have him saying we can enter. Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 11, he says, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, I will give you that rest." The rest for our soul, for our mind, our will, our emotion, things that we're toiling in. He says, "I bring you rest." Hallelujah. How many know this is that rest of God? When we enter into Christ Jesus, we enter into that rest. In one sense, it's like sitting down. You ever done that? You know, you sit down the easy boy, and what do? You take your shoes off first before you get in the house. Put your shoes off. That feels pretty good. Then you get in that easy boy, and what do? You lean back, especially you men, you know. You get back in that easy boy, and oh, you rest. When we come into Christ, we rest. We put our total weight and dependency upon him for all that he has done. Oh, glory to God. I'm so thankful, Father, that we can come to you when we labor, when we sense that heaviness, and you will give us rest. Take my yoke. In other words, be yoked up with me. We were talking about that a minute ago. Take my yoke upon you. Hallelujah. And learn of me. In other words, we don't want to just be yoked to somebody. We want to be yoked to Jesus. I mean, once they get that yoke on there, we want to be yoked up. Why? We don't wander off. We keep on that line. We keep our focus on Him. We're learning of Him. And when we're yoked with Jesus, we're not going to wander off, are we? We're not going to be way over here or way over there. You're going to be yoked with Him. And that is the desire of my heart. And I believe it's the desire of your heart to walk what? With Him. And when you're yoked up, you're not going to just wander off and do your own thing, are you? Amen. We don't get to do our own thing. We get to walk with Jesus. And when we're yoked to Him and we learn His ways, it becomes easy, doesn't it? Boom, we're pulling the weight together. We are one with Him. We are in His rest. We are in His presence. We are yoked to the Savior. Glory to God. That's good preaching, Pastor Tim. I like it. Or teaching, whatever. Hallelujah. But we take that yoke upon you, he says, and learn of me. Learn who I am. Begin to listen to my voice. He said, well, first of all, I believe God speaks to us, number one. What is from His word, right? But that's not all. He makes His word plain to us. He said He sent the Holy Spirit to what? Guide us and to lead us into all truth. There is a truth that comes from Him. And when we're yoked to Him, it's in that place that we hear Him, that we're close to Him. We walk very closely, don't you? I mean, you know, if you got two animals yoked together, they don't walk far apart. They can't. They're not, now they're there. And maybe the young one is trying to get one way or another, but that old, he's got the path. Amen. When you disciple somebody else and they're yoked up with Jesus, you help them to be yoked to Him. We can set a little direction. We can encourage you to move into God. But ultimately, you've got to yoke up with Him. And we can teach you some things that we have learned, and try to help stay on that path. Not to get what? Wandered off, because you're yoked with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you say, hey, ooh, you know, I'll steer a little bit, but you know, you have to follow Him. We have to be yoked to Him to be able to walk with Him. He said, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Hallelujah. Jesus was definitely meek and lowly of heart. Luke chapter 22, verse 27 says, I am among you as he that serves. I would say that's some meekness. He left all of his heavenly strength and he said, I choose to lay it all down. I do not consider it equality to be equal with God. But he said, I took the form of a servant, Philippians 2. Well, let's look at that, Luke 22:27. I am among you as he that serves. And we see that heart of Jesus here. Luke 22. I'm Luke. Okay. Luke 22 verse. Yeah. Okay. He says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at me or he that serveth? Is it not he that serveth at me? But I, or at the dinner table, isn't it he that serves? Isn't he the one that's greater? He said, I am among you as he that serveth. I am among you as he that serves. He said, I didn't come to make myself great. I came to serve. And you and I, when we're really the disciples of the Lord, when we're really serving God, who is it that we serve? It's people. When we really serve people in His name, we serve them love. We serve them peace. We serve them understanding. We serve them truth. We serve them prayer. We serve them hope. Amen. We serve them the truth of who Jesus is. We bring them Jesus and help them to know him. Amen. I mean, he's already come. He's there. He's available. It's all there. But we serve them encouragement to confess the Lord Jesus. Amen. By our life and by our words, we bring forth things. And when didn't Jesus say, if you've done this, he was talking about feeding those that are needy and the destitute. Doesn't mean the lazy, just people that are lazy. He said the naked and the destitute. That's a little different than just being lazy. See, the lazy man, we're supposed to let him go hungry so he might go to work. That's what the Bible says. If he's just living off everybody else and being a sponge, that's different. But when we see people that are naked and destitute, if someone's bound on drugs, they're pretty destitute. They don't know the master. They don't have hope. They have one thing. And it breaks my heart to see. It's just a little different sometimes. I see some of these people, they sit around the post office or they're here in town somewhere. Got 3 or 4 needles and smashed out of their mind. You can't even really carry on a conversation. All they're thinking about is one thing. I would say that's destitute, that's broken, that's hurting. Now, it's not just them. There's also people that are up and out. They don't know God. We have people next door here. They don't know God. They're destitute. They need to know him. We have hope for them. Amen. For all men. But here he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not a hard thing really to serve the Lord, is it? 1 John, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. My commandments are not burdensome. Why? Because you've got a nature on the inside of you that was born in true righteousness and holiness. Because of our love for God. He says, you love me. Why? Because I first loved you. I paid the price for you. I purchased you. I loved mankind. I gave my all for you. So now it's simple for you if you come learn of me. Take my yoke. Yeah, there's sometimes in the flesh. Yes, the flesh fights us. But in our heart of hearts, where is our heart? When we really begin to know him. When we begin to learn who he really is and who we really are. That we are true sons and daughters of the living King. That we're not just saved by grace. We are saved unto, amen, a family and into a family that God wanted. And he desires, he delights in you. He delights in mankind. We talked about it not long ago there on Sunday morning, where Adam was and God comes to Adam. Where are you, Adam? God was broken. His heart was hurting. He wanted to talk to his Adam, but Adam had died. Adam died. See, he died, yeah. Sometimes it took me a little while really to grasp. I mean, it seems so simple, but it took me a minute to realize he died. Not physically, but in a spiritual sense, he died. He died on the inside. God, now sin was there blocking him, and he didn't have that fellowship with the Father that the Father longed for. And he's going, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Have you died? Has someone who has told you? What did you do? Did you eat of that tree, Adam? Oh, Adam. Adam. And he had to put them out of the garden. He had to banish them because he loved them. Because he loved mankind. He wanted the relationship so much. And here he's just saying, even if you're born again, he says, come to me, all ye that labor, you're heavy laden, I will give you rest. Yoke yourself to me. Let them place that yoke upon your neck. It's not too much. I am meek. I'm lowly of heart. I'm one here to serve. I've come as a servant to serve you, to teach you, because my heart is what? Meek or humble before. Didn't mean weak. Humility and, you know, meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. Jesus says, I've come as one that has strength. I'm lowly in heart. In other words, I am here. I've humbled myself. My heart is for you. Amen. And my yoke is easy. My burden is light, which we said. But here Jesus says, and so he said in Luke 22:27, I am among you that he that serves. Man's being content to let God be all, he surrenders himself to Christ's working alone, to his working alone, to God's working. And as his disciples, we surrender to where God is all. In other words, our life belongs completely to him. If you remember in Luke 14, where Jesus, what did he say? Jesus says, if we're going to come after him and be his disciple, we must do a few things. He said, your love for me must be. Let's read it. Luke 14. I keep talking these verses and I know what they say, but I want to read them. All right, verse 25. Now here we've looked at these before, but here's where he really talks about the disciple and what must happen for the disciple and what is the cost of the disciple. It's really what Jesus is talking about here. Now you have to realize he just came down, okay? And he's talking to them some parables, and he gives the parable of the Great Supper. And he tells them, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Verse 23. 24, for I say to you that none of those men which were bidden are going to taste of my supper. The verse 25, he continues on. He says, and there was a great multitude with him. And he turns and he says to this multitude, because they're here, and he's saying, hey, some of these people aren't going to come in, but I'm telling you, you want to come to me, you want to be my disciple. If any man come to me, verse 26, and hates not his father and mother, and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So what's he saying here? In other words, in comparison to your love for me, it must be greater than your love for your family, your children, your husband, your wife, any other person on this earth, in other words, your brother, your sister, anyone. Your love for me must be greater than your love for them. And if you love me, if you're really loving God, then you'll love them even more. Amen. You will. You'll cry out for them. You'll pray for them. You'll believe God for their salvation. Amen. We're his disciples. Verse 27, whoever does not bear his cross, that's the other thing we have to do, and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Well, what is our cross? What does the cross represent? The cross was a place of death. He said, there is a way, when you come after me, there's going to be some death involved. You're going to have to take up that cross. You're going to have to say no to the flesh. You're going to have to say No, to whoever it is that you cater to or the people that you love more than him. You're going to have to make some changes. You know, there are people that love their children so much. They want them to become something great, and that's important. That's wonderful. But sometimes it's so much so, it's to their detriment. Everybody ever seen that? You know? It's really what it is. It's not them doing so great, but mommy and daddy want them to do great. So their life is, you know, what they didn't have is lived through them. Oh, boy. Yeah. And we want our kids to be greater, of course. Every parent wants their child to have more than they had, wants to be greater than them. Amen? Wants them to be accomplished. But in what God called them to do, the greatest thing we can do is not tell them, decide what you need to do, but discover what God's plan is for your life. Amen. To raise them in the bent that we see. Whatever it is we see in them, and to train them in that way. Hey, there's some things that are going to be different in every person. There may be a call of God on somebody's life, but hey, they're called to be a pastor, and maybe another one in the house may be called to be a pastor, but maybe one's an outreach pastor. Maybe it's different. Maybe they're a pastor in their business. Some people looking at me like, what? Yeah. You know, God can call people to be a pastor right over their own business. Even though, you know, maybe it doesn't look exactly the same as you think, but they pastor their business. They pastor those people that work there. They help them in their job. They minister to them. They're available for them. I know a few people like that. Not a lot, but there's some. Amen. That's where God called them to be. So, you know, we have to realize there is a price that's going to be paid. Amen. A cross that we're going to bear. That was the second thing. For which of you intending to build a tower, he goes on, he says, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Less happily thereafter, he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him. They look at it and they're mocking him. He didn't get to finish. Saying, this man began to build but was not able to finish. Or who goes to war with the king? Going to make war against another king. Sits not down first, and he consults or he decides. He makes, you know, thoughts, and they talk about it. Whether he be able to, with 10,000, to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. Can we win this war? If not, he says, or else, while the others yet a great way off, he says what? He sends an embassy out there, an ambassador. They go and they say, hey, they desire to conditions for peace. Why? Because they realize they couldn't win. Got to have peace. They count the cost. They look at it. Can I finish this building? Can I win this war? What can I do? What is the cost going to be? I must take up my cross and follow him. I must love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. I must do some things. So likewise, he said in verse 33, the third thing, whoever he be that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. In other words, we also lay down our own life, our own desires, our own thoughts of success, whatever it is that we may have wanted to be. Now, I wanted to walk with God my whole life, and thank God, mostly I have. I've tried to be obedient. Maybe I've been a little slow in some ways, but praise the Lord, I'm here today. I'm standing right here. Not because of me, because of him. I didn't make myself become this. I made myself available. See, we make ourselves available to God. His call, we make ourselves chosen. He didn't just choose, we make ourselves chosen. We say, yeah, there's lots of people who said many are called, few what are chosen. Why? Because they didn't make themselves chosen. We choose to walk with him. We choose to be his disciple. We choose to lay down our life, and we choose to say, yes, Lord, my life belongs to you. I will let you help me to crucify this flesh and to live unto you and to walk with you and to be yoked with you, to learn of you, to let you be my king, to let you truly teach me, Lord, your ways. He said, salt is good, but if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Is it not fit for the land, neither yet for the dunghill? But men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he said, that salt, if it loses its savor, its power, its saltiness, how can it be seasoned again? In other words, they used to use the salt. Salt was used in two ways, mostly. It was used like for a little fertilizer around some plants. They'd give a little salt there because how many know there's minerals in real salt? I'm not talking about the kind that's all processed and all that. But, you know, there's some minerals there. There's some nutrient there. And they would use that salt in the garden to grow the plants, help the plants grow. I mean, you don't want to put too much salt because that's not good. But you get some salt in there. There's some minerals, some good things. And then they also use the salt in the dung heap. They throw that salt on there to help it break down faster, so forth, and take care of some of the smell. Those things that helped it break down pretty much. But if salt loses that savor, if we don't stay connected with the Lord, we take up our own life and lay down our cross. That's a problem. We have to get back, pick up that cross, and follow him. We want to be salty. Salt brings some things, doesn't it? It makes people thirsty. When we spend time with him, how many know? His presence is upon us, and people get thirsty for what you have. They want what you got. They may not say it out loud sometimes. It may take them a little bit, but eventually. Amen. If we're good, we continue to sow the seed. We're there with the master. And you spend time with him, and you start looking more like Jesus. How many know people are really hungry for God? Some of them don't realize, you know, they don't know what they're looking for. They're lost. They're trying to find him everywhere they can. They're trying to fill that void in their heart. Can't do it with the world, can we? Can't do it with the world system. Can't do it with sin. Sin is fun for a little while, but it gets old too. Wow. That's Oklahoma for a while. Sometimes if I preach too fast, see, I get that Okie accent in there, I'm sure. But praise the Lord. I hope you enjoyed anyway. Hallelujah. That salt. Amen. If we're going to stay salty, we're going to stay with the master. We're going to stay yoked. Learn of him. Let his rest come upon you. How many know there's a lot of people looking for peace and rest today? Yeah, even some Christians have trouble, you know. Anybody ever have a little trial or you've had trouble maybe in your life and time past or maybe recently? Because we didn't cast it on the Lord. We have to continually follow after him, amen. It's not a one-time experience, but it's a lifestyle that we gain of loving him and loving our neighbor and walking with him and learning of him line upon line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little. Continuing to take up that cross one more time. Yes, Lord, I'll look at that thing that you want to get out of me. I'll let it die that your life may be made manifest in me so others can live. Yep. I'll wake up today, Lord. I'll pray again today. I'll spend some more time in worship. I'll let my light shine. Because I know, how many know, when you're yoked to the master, you're really with him, You know it. You know his presence. You know when he goes with you. You know it's there. You know his voice. You have his leadership. He's in there. He's guiding. He's leading. He said, the steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. We can trust him completely. Yes, Lord, I trust you. You're going to work things out with me today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It may not all look perfect right this second, but I know you're changing me, Lord. Just keep your eyes on me. If somebody condemns you, say, hey, just keep your eyes on me. He's still working. We're still changing. I'm still moving forward. Hallelujah. Used to have a guy, he would condemn me about this or that or the other. I said, just keep watching. The master's faithful. He'd tell me lies. I knew they were lies, but I didn't tell him that. I knew they were lies. He'd tell me his wife divorced me. I really need prayer. I said, oh, brother, I'm sure it'll be all right. I knew he was lying. He was just trying to get my goat, see. Trying to make it like, hey, God ain't real. But guess what? He is real. I know him. I know him, and so do you. And we can follow him, and we can be his disciple, and we can change our circumstance about us. Amen. We become like him. We learn of him. We become lowly, gentle of heart. We find rest for the soul. We become a place of safety for others about us. Amen. We bring strength wherever we go. We bring the peace of God. Glory to God. So many people are hungry to know God. They're hungry for that. They're looking for peace. They're looking for rest. They're looking for forgiveness. You know, there's people that can't have a hard time. Can't forgive themselves. I'm not saying, you know, yeah, there's been troubles around. I've been in the church a long time. I've seen a lot of things. Hallelujah. But there's something called forgiveness and the love of God and the mercy of God. It's greater than all. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. So I just want to challenge you to stay yoked up. Amen. Let's stay yoked to him. Let's keep ourselves right there learning from him, hearing his voice, letting him teach us, spending that time. Say, all right, Lord, what time, you know, do you have for me? I'm so blessed. I'm the one that's blessed. I get to serve some of our people and call them and minister to them. I'm blessed to have you here. Hey, what's our goals this month? What's your goal this month? Oh, I'm going to put in a little extra. I got an extra day. I'm going to surrender over to the Lord. I got a whole 8 hours. I'm going to seek him. Hallelujah. Got an extra. I'm not talking about the regular time. Extra time. Hungry to know him. Are we really hungry? Are we staying yoked? Are we throwing the yoke off our neck? You know? Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for loving us and challenging us to love you and to walk with you, Lord. To lay down our life, Father, that the life of Christ may shine forth as never before. Father, we want to be your disciples. We want to be those that love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to let your love flow through us like a river. Oh, Father, we thank you that we are love. We are children of a love God. And Father, we are your sons and daughters, and we want to shine, Lord, with you and reflect the love and life of the Master. Oh, Lord. We just thank you. We praise you that we can come and learn of you and we can receive your rest, your grace, your mercy, your help in time of need. Lord, we can enter into that place of rest and walk with you and truly be your disciple. Oh, we so want to follow you, Lord. We want to see this revival. We want to see the glory of God. We want to walk with you, Lord. Lord, you said the works that you did and even greater works will do. Hallelujah, because you've gone to the Father. And you've sent your Son, and you've sent your presence, Lord, your Spirit to live in us, Lord. That new nature, that new Spirit that we've received, that we can walk with you. Thank you, Father. We love you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your wisdom, Lord, and your abilities, Lord, that you draw us to yourself. I will keep that yoke upon us, Lord, and learn of you in Jesus' name. Amen.